Wasn't that an experience? Didn't the Lord come close to us? Oh, I'm just so thrilled to hear that enthusiasm, that strength. Praise the Lord. You know, the last page of the Bible in Revelation, it says Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come on, all of you say, whenever I say come, okay? I'll try again. The Spirit and the Lord say,
come.
And let him who hears say,
come.
And let him who thirsts,
come.
And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Isn't it wonderful that we can come to the Lord?
Amen.
Can you imagine how many times the word come is in the Bible? Larry, give me an estimate.
A million?
Pardon?
A million?
No. I said Larry. 200 is a bit closer. You know how many times? 1,700. 1,700. The repetition. Come, come, come. The Lord wants us to come to him. He doesn't want us to sit around. He wants us to come to him. Praise the Lord. Well, we come to the Lord through his word. And I want you to turn to Matthew 14. And we'll start in a minute reading with verse 22. But I want to open myself up today. I have a purpose in speaking. And I think I was surprised myself when I wrote this. And it wasn't until the end that I really got the gist of it. You know, many times we study and study the word, and then all at once it opens up. The purpose of Matthew 14 is to help us give up doubts and worries and fears. Does that make sense? Jesus afterwards says, O ye of little faith, why do you doubt? And he answers that question because we have little faith. We are doubters. And he wants believers. The purpose is also to lead us to grow faith in Jesus. Our faith needs to grow day by day. So far today, did your faith grow? Raise your hand who had a growing experience already. Praise the Lord. Thank you for those people who sing up here with all that enthusiasm. Our faith grows as we see the hand of God moving around this world. And then it considers, the purpose is to consider the impossible. Wow. Nearly impossible. I don't know if I put that bracket in there because of I'm a doubter. My faith is small. But praise the Lord. Okay, let's move on to the next one. What did I do wrong now? Okay, there's water walkers. Jesus, the Creator, was a water walker. He walked on water. Peter, the seeker, was a water walker. He walked on water. We too often kind of right away, somebody would say, oh, he sank. That's all they know. He walked on water, praise the Lord. Don't diminish Peter because he sank. He walked on water and the Lord blessed him. You and I, the invited ones, will one day walk on water. I know that we will walk on air. When the Lord comes, he's going to make us go up to heaven, am I right? We walk on water, walk on air. I need full attention here. I'm sorry. Okay. And the, not the ones on the shore. The ones on the shore are not the water walkers. They couldn't even hear Jesus when he talked. So let's go to Matthew 14, 22 and to 27. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Immediately after what? Pardon? That's right. I'm sorry. After see. Mike, would you give those to the people there? Right, the first row, second row only. Larry and Tom over there. Thank you. So after feeding the 5,000, wow! They were ready to make him king. And he sent them all away. And what did he do? And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain by himself to what?
Pray.
To pray. He needed the strength of the Lord, of his Father. Now when evening was come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. The lake is about 6 miles, 7 miles wide. So the boat was already two, three miles in the middle of the lake. Tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch, which is between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. You know, I sometimes wonder, why did he walk on the sea? Because he had a purpose to help people give up their doubts. Praise the Lord. You know, I kind of, when we get to the other side, I'm going to ask Jesus, how was it? But I kind of have a feeling that he had kind of a special smile on his face when he was walking on the water. He says, praise the Lord. Praise my Father. I can walk on water. And it was a thrilling thing to him, but a scary thing to those who saw him. Very scary. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It's I. Do not be afraid. You know, Jesus comes to us after communicating with his Father continuously, his prayer. He comes to us in a time of the wind. When things are bad, this morning I shook hands with somebody, and they told me, he says, I had a pretty rough week, pretty rough 2 weeks, but the Lord is there. The Lord is with me. We kind of can see the hand of the Lord better in the storm, because we depend on the Lord too. We raise our hand in our dependence. Jesus went to them. The boat was going up and down. They were kind of scared that they might be in trouble. Jesus went to them. The disciples feared a ghost, but Jesus identified himself. It is I. And actually, with the real translation, the real original says, I am. It's like when he revealed himself to Moses, he said, I am. And here too, he says, it's me, I am. Don't fear. Don't fear. We have far too much fear at times because we feel like we are inadequate, but the Lord makes us adequate. Jesus before the water went to the mountain. Jesus is always near. He couldn't leave his disciples alone. He went to them on the water. The disciples missed Jesus. They said, "He sent us ahead. Where is he? He has no boat. Where is he now?" And he was there. Jesus responds to faith. And many times we go out there someplace. We are in situations that seem to be impossible. And then Jesus is near. And in Isaiah 30, 21, it says, you hear the voice behind you. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Isn't that wonderful? Many times I heard that scripture. This is the way. Walk ye in it. When we doubt, when we feel weak, when we are troubled, when we are in a storm, in a wind, we can hear the voice of God. This is the way. Walk by faith. Jesus is in impossible places, in places that we don't expect him. They didn't expect him walking on the water. He's in unexpected spots. He's there in the windy times, like I mentioned already. He's there in new relationships. When we meet new people, the Lord can connect us. Praise the Lord. I hate to tell you the story because it sounds like it's nearly impossible. But sometimes I come out of my house and I stand in the driveway. And a young man recently was walking by. And I say, "Hi, beautiful day." And he stopped and he said, "Yeah, the sun is shining. Praise the Lord." So I right away knew that he's a Christian because he answered like that. So I gave him my phone number. He gave me his phone number. We made arrangements. And a week afterwards, he came to our house and for a Bible study. I might miss some of the details by now, but it happened just in the last month. And he came with a friend. And both of them were very interested in the Bible study. We had a wonderful time together. They are 19 and 21 and so on, young adults. The one drives a Lincoln Continental, an old one, a real big one. And then the next time, the friend of that young man said, "Can I bring a friend along?" And we said, "Yes." And so the original guy who I met by then had gone to Florida. Wow. And I haven't seen him since. But his friend is still coming for a Bible study. And he's bringing a friend. And last week he asked, "Can I bring another friend or two?" And I says, "Yes, yes, yes." So by faith, we catch those little glimpses of people who are seeking the Lord. And we fulfill the word of God by responding. And the Holy Spirit is in those meetings when we catch something new. Praise the Lord. New relationships. Jesus is in new relationships. We look at some myths and realities. They're impossible. So many things seem to us impossible. A job, a partner. I don't know what your greatest need is. I won't bore you with my greatest needs. Thank you. That's a good testimony. Jesus and I can. We can together. Nothing is impossible. Because we all are going to walk on the air. We all are going to walk on water. Am I right?
Amen.
We all are going to do it. When the Lord comes, he's going to open up vistas that we have never even thought. Often we say we are not able, but Jesus is able, and we are his friend. So with Jesus, there's no fear, no timidity, no impossibility. no discouragement. If we keep on looking to Jesus as he does the impossible things for us, we can have the strength. And we saw that today in the singing. Am I right? Wasn't that wonderful how those eight people here made this place ring with the Lord's message? So the winds get our attention. When we used to live up on Apple Hill, we had big storms. And it would feel like a railroad going right next to us. And so noisy as the wind would blow between the houses. It tests our character. It tested our trees. Are they strong enough to stand the wind? And luckily, they still stand, I hope. But the winds deepen our faith. And then they send us to Jesus because we know that we can't withstand it on our own. We need Jesus in our lives. Better with Jesus without a boat than without Jesus in a boat. Isn't that strange? It's better to be on the water with Jesus than without Jesus in a boat. Better connected with God by faith than disconnected by fear. We have far too many fears, far too many discouragements, far too many impossibilities. And what this message is about, yes, we can. So my question to some of you who have the mics is, how can following Jesus be scary? Can that be a true? Can following Jesus be scary? Anybody?
Well, Tom? You need to go against established common wisdom sometimes. Be a contrarian. You need to be a contrarian and take a different path than others.
Take a different path? You mean, and is that scary?
It can be, yes.
It can be.
Sometimes God asks us to get out of our comfort zone.
Oh, I like my comfort zone.
In the boat.
In the boat. You know, it's interesting. 11 disciples stayed in the boat. And Jesus didn't scold them. But it's scary to go out.
Yeah.
Paul.
Rudy, I like being in control. I like the firm feel of the wood of the boat. I don't like having to step out and not be in charge and not be in control.
Oh, I see. You like to be in charge and in control. Are you the only one like that?
No, my wife is a little more that way.
But on the other hand, I think following Jesus is not scary. It's without him is the scary part.
And that's where the doubt comes in. Am I right? When we doubt, it's scary.
Yes, because with Jesus, we have nothing to fear. You know, you talked about fears and worries, and a transformation in my personal life, from the time I was little, I was just always, always worried. I mean, my school report cards says, Nancy's doing fine, but she worries. I was always worried. As a teenager, I worried about anything and everything. But after I came to know Jesus, something changed. And somebody asked me, you need to think about how much time you spend worrying, and does it make a difference? And it really doesn't. Yeah. That's why I have to depend on Jesus. So it's, to me, scary without him.
Amen. 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 How many of you agree with her? Thank you. Look around. How many followers you have on your talk. Mike?
Michael? You know, it was scary for me come into the church and you get your first corporate job and you go to them and you tell them, I don't want to work Friday nights and I don't ever want to work on Saturday. And for 23 years, God protected me at Intel. They questioned it at times, but at other times, I just stood my ground. And in faith, I said, you know, this is God's day, and that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to give it to God. And I had a good experience there.
Praise the Lord.
I've stepped out in faith to do something different now, and I'm doing very well with it, and I give all the praise to God. But it's scary sometimes to do what God asks you to do.
Because the kernel of doubt does not leave us easily. It doesn't leave us easily. Okay, Mike.
Pastor, I was thinking when you read the story, I said, you know, here it's us too. You know, we always want a new miracle. We always want to remove the doubt that Jesus can do anything that he says by saying, can't you just show me one more miracle? Here, the apostles had been with him. He had fed not just 5,000 people, but they say it was the women, the children, right, had it all right together to be about 20,000 people just off a basket of bread and some fish. And then immediately, they had not got it all then either. They didn't quite believe who he was. How could this guy do this? Is he really God or is he not God? How did he make all that? How did he feed everybody? But yet that was supposed to be one of their most important experiences.
And they didn't get it.
And they didn't get it. Immediately says, get in the boat and go out there. Now, who made the wind and the waves? But it was tossing them. And I know when I've been in the storm feeling like the house is going to rip off the, you know, the top. You know, that's the time that you need to be on your knees and praying.
Amen. Amen.
And if they weren't praying at that moment, they were thinking about all those little pagan ideas about all the things that they couldn't think of that as being Jesus when he went by.
Yeah.
They thought of him as being an apparition, something that the Bible doesn't even teach.
Amen.
Other than a demon.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they didn't even recognize his smile as he walked by.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We move on. Come unto the water. Peter asks to come. Verse 28 and 29, just two verses. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, and this is a conditional here, right? If. Wow, what a lack of faith. Am I right? He should have known that this is the Lord. There should have been faith even in Peter's part. There was doubt in Peter's part. Am I right? Am I reading it right? Am I reading it right, Pastor Robert? Okay, I just want to have your assurance. Thank you.
You know, Pastor, the wind didn't stop yet. The wind was still blowing him back.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And he was still saying, come. So he had to trust him.
Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He asked for that miracle. Isn't that strange? And he didn't believe enough. Are you troubled by that? I mean, Peter is one of the main disciples. Can you imagine the boat going up and down, right, in the wind? How do you step out of a rocking boat onto waves? Not easily, carefully, right? But prayerfully, maybe should be the better word. Tell me to come. Jesus said, come. Come. That's the greatest commandment that there is. Come. When we graduated from Walla Walla College, at that time it was Walla Walla College, the General Conference asked us, come to Singapore. And I had to look on the map to find where Singapore was. I didn't know exactly the location, but come. We call it a call. And many of us had a call to serve the Lord. Nowadays, some of you are getting a call from the nominating committee. Am I correct? And while this is not the purpose of my talk, it's a reality. Call. Come. Come and serve. Come and do something. Just don't sit there. Get a move on. So he said, come. And when Peter come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And I would like to stop right there. You know, people don't enjoy that Peter walk. Am I right? They go right on, oh, he sank. Never mind. How many of you have walked on water? The sinking is all right, too, because it shows that we can't do it on our own. And the secret here is he walked toward Jesus. He didn't do it to stand up out there and say, look at me. Watch me. I'm walking. And he didn't turn back to look at his friends and see their astonished faces. He just walked. How many steps? I'm going to ask him when I get there. I want to know how far he got. But Peter came toward Jesus, and Peter walked on water. So come. This picture actually is pretty startling, isn't it? Jesus is a light. And I wouldn't be surprised that he was like a light on the sea. But this sea is far too calm. Am I right? They couldn't make it with real waves there. Come, come, come. You know, my first call to come was come to Canada when one of my uncles wrote us to Czechoslovakia and said, come to Canada. You're welcome to come to Canada. And I had to give up my name. My original name was Klimisch, had a hook on the S. And when we were at the London airport, in those days they would call out the passenger list. And they called Climbs, Climbs. And nobody came. And so my brother turned to me and he said, that must be us. And that's how we got our name. Stewart is calling out our name in the London airport. I had to give up our family. When I became a Christian, I had to give up my father for 2 years. I had to give up my job, and having no other job ahead of me. Come. I went to... Let me finish this. I went to Oshawa Missionary College. And they had a baking class. And so I took the baking class. In the summer, they asked me to run the bakery. And here, so I... my wife has many stories on that, too, but I won't go into them. But the union educational director, Larry Smart, would come and buy his bread at my bakery. And one day he came and says, Rudy, Would you be willing to go as a missionary? And I said, well, I would consider it. And then he said, we need a teacher out in Saskatchewan to teach elementary school. Anyway, come and teach. I told him, I says, I barely speak English. I had been in Canada for 2 or 3 years at that time. My accent was worse than it's now. But he said, we need you. And so I said, well, if you tell the board how bad I am and they still need me, I'll go. And so it's in some ways, if you would have known the circumstances, here a 19-year-old immigrant refugee who didn't speak the language, who had no training, was sent out to Saskatchewan to teach elementary school, to be actually the principal of the elementary school, because I was the principal and teacher and janitor all together. I did everything. But it basically, looking back on it, the faith that man had in me was just supernatural, that he knew that I wouldn't goof it up. that I wouldn't mess it up. And praise the Lord, I survived. And I'm here to tell the tale. They didn't fire me. Even so, at times, it was difficult. Oh, one of the most difficult things, my oldest girl student in grade 9 was a girl. She was 16. I was 19. And at that time, my age was a top secret. Most of my life, I was too young to do what I was doing. But praise the Lord, I survived. Preach in a strange language. Oh, I maybe have told you that once before, but when we went to Korea, we had to learn Korean. And after 3-4 months, I had memorized a 10-minute, 5-minute, 10-minute little talk in Korean. In those days, people sat on the floor in Korean churches, small Korean churches. And I started my little talk in Korean. And the kids were rolling on the floor and laughing. I mean, drowning me out. It was like a man from Mars who was Otom Malsum Hanengosol Chonom Malsum Otagesmira. I'm speaking Korean now. But what I was saying was sounded so funny to them. And in the back, the grandmothers, they thought that that was the funniest thing they ever heard. And they were slapping on each other, laughing. And here I was trying to give my 10-minute little talk in Korean. Impossible, impossible. But the Lord made me walk on water. And I had the privilege. Actually, I had the privilege eventually of talking in Korean to the National Assembly. In one of their celebrations. But the Lord has blessed. Speed walk on the Capitol Mall, I stopped that one, but I had that privilege too. We organized a speed walk on the Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C. Carolyn, you had something.
I was just thinking about, you wrote a question here, what risk do you take for Jesus? And I was thinking, you know, mine would be an insecurity. Being a woman, typically we don't go to the restroom even by ourselves. So I was looking at Peter and what he said, you know, Jesus, call me and I'll come to you. And I'm thinking, I would probably have added, can I bring a friend? Because to step out in faith is a personal thing. It's something that is just between you and God. It's not something that you can take your family with or your loved ones. So sometimes it is a risk. They might not make the same decision that you make. And so stepping out there, you're stepping out by yourself to the Lord, which is the right move, but not there's people that are back in the boat that still didn't get out of the boat. You have to leave them behind.
Why didn't Peter say, John, come. James, come. Right? Andrew, come. They could have made a whole line walking together. Didn't.
Well, doesn't that also go to show we're all at different points in our Christian walk?
That's very well put. Okay, we are all at different points. And so we should not over-expect, right? It was all right for James and John to stay in the boat. Am I correct in that? The Lord didn't say to them, come. In this sense here, Peter had to volunteer. Am I right? Okay. So Jesus calls to take steps of faith. I would like to ask some of you to take a step of faith. Just do something for the Lord that is not in your comfort zone. Like Larry calls it, comfort zone. Today we had a Sabbath school lesson in the mother's room, and Sue Harmon was teaching, and praise the Lord. She went as a missionary with us for 3 weeks to Costa Rica and ran a whole series of evangelistic meetings. I hope that the day comes that every Christian feels like they can be on a Christian mission, here or there. The Christian faith is not one to sit. It's not a club where you feel comfortable. Actually, if you feel too comfortable, the pastor will make you uncomfortable. And our job is to make you uncomfortable, not to comfort you in some sense. So praise the Lord. Mission service. Get a faith life. You know, some people say, I talk to them week by week and they say, same old, same old. Have you heard that? Well, we don't have to have the same old. The Lord is there and is new. In the beginning, I didn't emphasize that. 1 minute has 60, not only seconds, but 60 opportunities. Has many opportunities. And we usually don't see those opportunities. Am I right? We just see one little thing that limits us. And God wants us to get out of our comfort zone. Get going. And risk something for him. Risk all. Was Peter willing to die on that lake? Was he? Jim, you're nodding.
Yeah,
your head.
I think so. I think he was stepping out in faith. You know, that Jesus was out there. He wanted to go too. He had faith that he could do what Jesus was doing.
He had faith to do what Jesus was doing. Boy, that's a pretty big faith, isn't it? But that's what it was.
But when he started to sink, didn't he call out to God, save me?
Yes. Yes, we come. Next time you have to come into the second row so that we can hear you. Okay, let me move on. We walk on water in the wind. We walk only when Jesus calls. We don't do it for our own glory. Am I right? It's interesting that only Matthew even talked about Peter. The other two mentions of that thing doesn't even mention Peter because they didn't want to inflate his ego, I think. I don't know. Only with Jesus. We can do the impossible or the very difficult only with Jesus. We can't do it on our own. Never alone. Never alone. So what risks do you take for Jesus? What risks anybody has taken for Jesus? Yes, Jim.
In the last 12 years, I was in prison. And it was a lot of slander and ridicule that I went through. And they would say, what are you going to church for? Or, he won't get you out of here. I counted on his love and his grace and his mercy to get me through it all. And I kept in prayer, and he brought me through it all.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord that you're here. It's a better place, isn't it? Yes.
I'm not quite the second row. Is this the King Report? I've also got strong lungs anyway. There was a time in my life when I used to drive the biggest trucks that you can imagine back and forth across the country, working 70 hours a week, think about little besides myself in the next 8 seconds. And then about Thanksgiving time in 1999, I caught pneumonia. And in January 2000, I was told I had 5 years to live without a heart transplant.
Praise the Lord that he saw you through.
He has. I've become an old busted anchor.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I need to finish up because it's already 12:05. We choose. Often we are frozen by fear, but we can find faith to act. Come when called. Reach out when sinking. He saves those who see him, who hear him, who come to him on the water. He also saves those in the boat. We all don't have the same mission. Am I right? That's very important. Stay in the boat. Yes, it is safe. Leave only when sure. Not quite. No, Jesus says, come. Faith alone takes a risk. Why do you doubt Jesus? He gives you a helping hand. I was wondering, was James and John pushing him out of the boat? Did he look around and says, who pushed me? Is that how he got out? No, he walked out. Peter on the water. And I need to close with that. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him. Oh, no, I have to start with 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched out his hand. And this is where this powerful text comes. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Peter had learned his faith. In Matthew 4:20, it talks about Jesus calling Peter, and Peter leaving right away. Terrific. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Terrific. Jesus rebuked the wind, and Peter was there. And he gave 5,000 something to eat, 5,000 plus. Michael thinks it's 20,000. Steps of faith in the wind. Our wind might be a crisis, it might be a conflict. It might be an illness, it might be a doubt, it might be a difficulty, it might be a resistance, an opposition. But we can have great expectations in the Lord's help. Great empowerment. Peter had his eyes on Jesus. He walked on water. He saw the waves. He took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. How does Jesus save you when you sink? One person's comment on this. Yes, Jim.
I don't get to the point of sinking, but I do get to the point. Let me say that again. I don't get to the point of being sunk, but I do get to the point of sinking. And when I do that,
it's good.
I pray to God, and he brings me up and out of it. A lot of times, I'll get an answer right away. Sometimes I have to wait for it, but I always get an answer.
Praise the Lord. Are there some people who never sink in here? Some people who never sink. You know, we all are too heavy. We all sink. We have to close off. This is an interesting experiment. Rats live by hope. When rats can't get out of a box and there's water in it, they drown in 17 minutes. But when rats who have been rescued from drowning and then drown again or come close to drowning, they survive for 36 hours. Because the rats have hope that they would be rescued again, they survive much longer. Isn't that interesting? And we survive because we have been rescued. The Lord has tested us, and he has rescued us, and so now we are willing to wait longer on him. Peter's shortest prayer, I like that. I had a student in the cafeteria once, and he would come and take his tray and he'd go down like this, boom, first the food right into his mouth. And I asked him, did you pray? And he says, yes. What did you pray? Thanks, Jesus. Well, Peter's prayer wasn't much longer. It was, save me. Lord, save me. So prayers don't have to be long. Am I right? The shortest prayer can be an effective prayer. And we need to keep praying all along. Pray while without. Pray while sinking. Pray while. Whenever we seek him, he is found. And every place is hallowed ground. The Lord added all the details. Pray without ceasing. So we walk on grass. We walk on roads. We will walk on air. we will walk on water. That his 12 disciples feared. Jesus came in the wind. To some he says, come, we walk on water. He saves both boat and water people. We worship him. So come, walk with Jesus. We will have a benediction. And Paul, would you kindly pronounce the benediction?
Our Father, thank you that you call each of us to come. And we pray that you'll open our hearts, give us the faith to remove that doubt, and to come to walk with you and to accomplish impossible things through you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.